Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
When I think about being in safe arms, you think about this, being in safe arms, you think the arms of the Lord are strong and that he can keep things from happening to you, not because you're strong, not because you're good, but because he's good and he's able. And it makes me think of in Psalms 32, he's in writing here, he talks about, he says, verse 7, he says, talking about the Lord, he says, "You are my hiding place. You're my hiding place." I mean, you think there's times when you just need to go hide in God. Yeah. You just need, it's like, give me a moment. And let me tell you something. If you answer a man quickly, I would dare to say you're going to have to go back and retract that. Mm. I mean, it's not wrong for you to say, you know what? Give me a moment. You know, let me abide on that. Just let me. I'm not saying yes. I'm not saying no. I'm saying I'm dependent. Mm. Mm. And when I spend time with God, when I go hide in God over this, then he's going to give me a different perspective. He's going to remind me of the things he said to me. And I encourage you in the context of that, you know, be slow to speak so that you can just, you know, and there's sometimes you just got to hide in the Lord. You just got to, you know, I'll be with you when I finish. When are you finished? When I don't need to hide anymore. And he says, you are my hiding place. And then he goes on and says, and you will protect me from trouble. You'll protect me from trouble. Listen, over and over again, we're told, even when Jesus says, in this life, you will have troubles, but cheer up, I've overcome this life. This whole mindset of saying you're not going to have troubles, you're not going to have struggles, all these different things. He goes, come on. That's really messing you up because you have a whole bunch of them, and now you're walking around in denial, and people are trying to understand the very truth that you said you profess. But you should say, hey, you know, I'm having stuff going on here, but listen, that my God protects me in all these troubles. Mm. He protects me. He's my hiding place. He protects me. And then he surrounds me with songs of deliverance. Let me tell you something, and I'm excited about new things the Lord is opening up. But if you're not involved, you know, listening to songs of deliverance, and I just can't wait to be sharing some things coming in the future. But when you think about this, I mean, think about this, there needs to be a balance in the worship. Some of the songs, you know, that we're singing today, you know, and pull out the rhythm and listen to the lyrics, and you're thinking, it sounds like you're about to have an affair on Jesus. The song sounds like, hold me back, hold me back. I want to cheat on you. I want to cheat on you. How is it going to help me? And it's like,
yeah.
What kind of victory, what kind of song of deliverance is that? Mm-hmm. You know, right. I'm not saying that you don't fail, you don't make mistakes, but if you sing about adultery, you're cheating hard. I might as well sing that, right? Yeah, and it's right. Like the song's like, what happened to songs of deliverance?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, and I do love the loving songs because the love of God, and we need to understand the love of God. We so need to get it because how can you love others till you realize that you're loved, but it should overflow and love back to others. But part of loving God is obeying God, marching out. And you think about it, we have these songs that you know, it started off, when you look at history, it's like, onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war. And it's today's like, sloppy wet kiss, Jesus. You know, it's like, you know, I'm a wind, bending a tree, bending in the wind, the earth kids kiss, love, 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 love. I'm thinking about cheating on you, but I'm not. Right. Hold me back. You know, it's like, what happened to this, you know, make a man of me, a man of integrity, a man of the spirit. A man of his word. What did that produce? That masculine worship produced a movement in the kingdom, a movement in America that produced 1 million men in the mall of Washington, D.C., falling on their faces and crying out to God for the repentance of our sins and the sins of others. We cannot emasculate this nation. We need to understand the love, but we can't give up the battle.
That's right.
Songs of deliverance. This new season coming to the church. Let me tell you a little hint about it. It's going to be, if what God did through Promise Keepers filled stadiums, filled coffee shops, and filled Washington, D.C., all the way from Maryland to the White House, with men who were willing to bury their face in the sand, break down all the walls of division, and to openly worship God, why would you want to do away with whatever was done in their hearts to produce that? I'm not talking about Promise Keepers. I said, what do we learn from that?
Right.
Learn from those that have gone before you. And the thing is that we're going to throw out all this, you know, Jesus, make a man of me, a man of integrity, a man of the Spirit, a man of his word.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You know, a mighty fortress is our God. And today it's just the psalm. The lyrics aren't even coming to me. But you hear the lyrics today, it's just like, you know.
Wimpy and.
Yeah. Just give me your eyes to see. I don't know how I missed it. Give me your eyes to see.
Here's a good one.
Okay.
A man singing, I am a flower. Quickly fading. Here today and gone tomorrow. I'm like, there's a problem with that.
And the thing about it, you got to understand, these are things men wouldn't say out of their mouths. And so and you're wondering why 60, 70% of the men, the churches or gatherings are filled with women and not men. It's like, he's probably not going to relate to the words like sloppy, wet kiss coming from. It's not that he doesn't love God. He doesn't even say that to his wife. I mean, he's not going to say it to people. It's like, come, you know, I'm going to come give you a sloppy, wet kiss. Like, it doesn't even go in his DNA. Sad thing is now we're seeing the culture of men kind of adapt to that because they're thinking, I guess this is actually normal.
Guess what I have to do, right?
Yeah, you know, you're seeing men leave the masculinity aspect of their lives. But, you know, what if we just recapture that and begin to say, you know what? You know, we're called into a spiritual war, a battle, to battle. He says the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing from the time of John the Baptist even till now, and it's forceful men that lay hold of it. The people that have gone before us, study their lives. If you haven't yet read God's Generals by Robert Sheridan, you need to read it because it's a good read. It's an evidentiary read. It's a challenging read, but it shows you the lives of those that have gone before us in our own time frame. And understanding when you think about Amy Semple McPherson or Mariah Etter or Catherine Kuhlman, you see her fruit today, but you have to understand she slept in a chicken coop. Mm. She slept in a chicken coop to be able to get to the place she wanted to so she could have shelter. Mariah Etter camped in tents. I'm talking about women for some reason, but you know, they camped in tents just to get there to be able to meet in a tent with obviously no air conditioning in it.
Right.
You think about Dowie and what Dowie went through. You think about... You know, what
John G. Lake and all the people that died in his life.
John G. Lake. It's a family loss. Mariah lost six of her children, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. But yeah, John G. Lake, and he went to Africa in that day.
Mm. I mean, with no money to get off the boat.
In that day, with no money to get off the boat, with his family.
Mm.
And these are the people we talk about today. Why? Because they understood the masculine aspect, the aggressive aspect of God. I mean, one of his names of God is he's the breasty one, which means when we cry out to him, provision comes from him. But he's also, you know, the banner of God. Mm-hmm. He's the lion. He's the lion. And you know, I just think about even right now when I'm thinking about Akaya Lee's speech last night at Christians United for Israel, Washington, D.C. I mean, she let it roar. It wasn't like, so we just need to love Israel. And I was like, she's like, and we got to stand for them. Who else is going to do it? You know, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. Wow. And it just... Yeah, you know, just radiated with the people that are there with me, and I'm sure all the ones that were listening around the world. And so I'm excited about venturing into the area of recapturing the wisdom that was demonstrated that produced so many that the world was shaken because of it. And today, even though it is finished, it still has remnants of blessing all over the place. And what was the words? What was the message? The message was, you know, get accountable.
Mm.
Honor, you know, deal with your sin, pray for your leaders, come together with a few other men, get a Paul and a Barnabas in your life. Should be somebody over you, somebody under you, somebody that's speaking over you, somebody you're speaking over, and you're coming together, you're building relationship. You have to do this because you got to have a vital relationship with a few other people to be able to make this. You can't do this without God's designed it in a way that you need me and I need you.
That's right.
That's right.
And that pleased. I mean, what father would not be pleased If his children are depending on each other to be able to get through while they're following his leadership. Mm-hmm. That's not a negative thing, by the way, in family. And so I just really sense that, you know. And so he says, you are my hiding place. This is what we're talking about, Psalms 32, 7 through 10. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble, and you surround me with songs of deliverance. And what does God do? This is what he says. He says, I will instruct you. See, when you hang out with God and you're in that environment, trust him, I will instruct you. I will teach you. I will teach you in the way that you should go, and I will counsel you. This is beautiful. And I will counsel you, and I will watch over you. Mm. And the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Mm. When we understand that and believe that and trust in that, then that's when he protects us.
That's right.
I truly believe in my spirit, and I really want to see. And I just challenge you right now, if you want to be a part of that, songs of deliverance. There's new sounds coming. There's new aggressive, advancing sounds and songs of deliverance that are coming. Not, I'm trying to cheat on you, Jesus. Hold me back.
Mm.
But Jesus, I'm willing to die for you.
Right.
Nothing can hold me back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Young girls often are naturally interested in fashion, but there are some dangers. This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller. You know, in a culture that markets to girls with messages of beauty and perfection, Dana Gresh has some words of caution.
The research really indicates that young girls who are exposed to fashion products too soon, who are overconsumed with their body and beauty image, that they're more at risk of eating disorders, depression, and an early sexual debut in their teen years. And then when they're young adult women and they're in that first few years of their marriage relationship, that they have so many scars on their heart and so many body image issues that they can't enjoy the gift that God has given to them.
You'll find tips for good conversations with your tween daughter at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
The Holy Spirit said, for 100 days, beginning March the 1st, I'm going to take my people through a time of redefinement. For the last number of years, God's people have really been bound. And the Holy Spirit said that His people's been contained and constrained. They have been refined. When you go through the refiner's fire, you have a period of loss, but it's not bad loss. It's loss of things that needs to go. And the Holy Spirit said that there's some of you here today that you've lost some relationships, but don't worry about it. The Lord's going to give you more relationships to make up for the ones that you lost. Holy Spirit said, for 100 days, beginning March the 1st, I'm going to take my people through a time of redefinement. Simon was known as a reed, and the Lord redefined him and called him Peter, and he went from being a reed to a rock. Same man, just redefined. There's going to be cities that the Holy Spirit in America is about to redefine. They were known as one thing, but they're about to be redefined and known as another thing. You've been one way, but you're about to be completely another way. Some of you is going to experience such a change in your life, you're going to realize when God gets through redefining you, you could have never done that 6 months ago. The devil has come to some of you and he's convinced you that you're put off, it's not going to happen, you're wasting your time. The devil's told some of you that you prayed about it, and nothing's going to happen. But I've come here today to turn the ship in the water, and I've come here to tell you God is about to give you a season of suddenlies in the name of Jesus.
You're listening.
listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, you know, guys, of all the things that Jesus could pray for, the disciples could ask Jesus to help him, help them with, they ask Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. Mm. I mean, of all the things they could have asked the Lord, they said, teach us to pray. And the Bible tells us that oftentimes, you know, Jesus was early seeking God and on, you know, by himself. Mm-hmm. And they had to be looking at Jesus' prayer life. They had to be looking at, you know, what the Lord was doing and with his time. I mean, they saw the signs and the wonders. They saw the miracles. They saw the multitudes. They saw Jesus teaching with power and authority. But they also saw how Jesus would be by himself mm-hmm. in the morning in prayer. So much so, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Matthew 18:18 says, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You know, Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, but he also gave them and gives us today authority, the authority we have as a believer, as a son and daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is our Savior. We have the ability to pray, and we have the authority in Jesus' name. And in Luke 10:19, he says, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Mm-hmm. And so I think oftentimes we can forget that God has given us authority. Authority to pray, authority to transact kingdom business. And you look at what was happening in Acts. I mean, this is like the first moments of the church being recorded. Mm-hmm. And it's so beautiful to see what they did with what the Lord gave them. I mean, God, you know, Jesus poured into them for 3 years. And now they were walking out everything that he had taught them. And they were obeying his word. But we find that in Acts 12, verse 1, it says, it was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. Now, think about that. Here is this wicked Herod.
Yeah.
He is arresting the church. And with all the intention now of persecuting and doing them harm. Now, get this. In the second verse, he says, he had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. So already, I mean, these are not empty threats, but we already know that he had James already put to death. This was a really serious thing that was going on.
Yeah.
And this is not good. And so he also saw that it pleased the Jews, so he proceeded to seize Peter also. Now, think about this. I mean, here's a church being persecuted. Things are happening. And sometimes, you know, people wonder how come bad things happen. It's like, listen, in life you're going to have good stuff. There's going to be some bad stuff. And don't forget that the enemy is loose on the earth today. His plan is to steal, kill, and to destroy. And so God wants us. God has equipped us. He's given us the ability to pray. He's given us the ability to touch heaven. He's given us the ability to bind on earth, to loose, right? Mm-hmm. And to you know, transact kingdom business. And so God allows us to do this. And you ask, you know, why did God allow this? Well, you know, God has given the earth to us for man to rule. He's given it to us to rule. You know, the Lord oftentimes will not make a decision for us. He requires that we invite him into our affairs, that we invite the Lord into what's going on. He doesn't control us. right? He will not act oftentimes in an area that he has already empowered us to do. He's already given us the authority. He's already given us the ability to pray, and he wants us to exercise that authority that he has given us. He wants us to exercise it. He doesn't want us to become spiritually lazy,
right?
But he wants us to go in the place of battle, in the place of prayer, and to deal with the enemy, because the enemy, like we said earlier, wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And what we're talking about is the authority of the believer. You know, all authority was established with God. And you look in the Bible that God gave that authority over to Adam, right? God gave that authority to Adam, and Adam lost that authority. He lost the keys when he fell into sin because of Satan, him and Eve fell into sin. So God had the authority. He gave the keys over to Adam. Now, now Adam lost the keys to Satan, and Jesus, who's the second Adam, had to come to restore all things, right, and to regain the keys that the enemy stole. And God gives us that authority today.
That's right.
He gives us that authority today. And so we need to be vigilant in prayer. So in verse 4, Peter was arrested. He's put into prison, and he's guarded by 16 guards, and he's locked up in chains. And Herod intended to bring him to public trial after the Passover. So Peter's in trouble. He already knows that James was already killed by the sword. And here there's 16 guards, you know, guarding over Peter. But verse 5, I love this verse. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him.
Right.
But the church, my goodness, there's nothing like the praying church. There's nothing like when believers get together and they say, I am going to pray for you, and they mean it, and they do it, and God answers as a result. The church was praying. They were operating in authority, and they were not going to let Peter go down.
That's right.
They were praying. The power of prayer, the authority of the Lord, the authority of the believer. I mean, the word tells us that we've been given authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all, not some, all the power of the enemy, and nothing, no thing will harm you.
Mm-hmm.
And so they prayed. So they prayed, but in verse 7, this is what happened. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrist. You're talking about divine intervention. You're talking about the supernatural. You're talking about prayer that released angels, right? An angel to actually escort Peter outside of this prison. And so he was kind of a little bit confused. He didn't know what was going on, Peter, but he just followed. Mm-hmm. He gets out in the middle of the road, and this is Peter's confession. This is what Peter says. Then Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating. So here you see the church was praying. Peter gets free supernaturally. This is divine.
Yeah.
Supernaturally. And so he, in verse 12, he begins to walk to Mary's house, right? The mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and where they were praying. Now in verse 13, it says, Peter knocked at the outer entrance and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was overjoyed. She ran back without opening it and exclaimed, Peter's at the door. Peter's
it's
at the door.
Shock.
You know, and of course, this, they encouraged me, you know. You know, you look at the book of Acts, you see all these signs and wonders, and you think these were holy people. They were so perfect.
Right.
Oh my goodness. They, you know, these guys walked with Jesus, you know. They're human just like all of us, you know. And what was their response? This great prayer service that was happening there. What was their response? They said, "You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. What are you talking about? Now you're praying that God would touch Peter, that God would intervene, that God would set Peter free, right?"
Makes you wonder, were they praying with faith or just out of their heads? You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know how it is. It's just praying, you know, and this is the thing when you're praying that sometimes you try to pray your will or how you think it's going
to happen.
How it's going to happen,
yeah.
Yeah, you kind of plan it out. You just want to pray, God, your will be done, and let God do what he's going to do. Don't project on how it's going to happen. And I think that's the temptation we all have to say, well, Lord, I just pray, and we try to pray with some reasoning and some logic according to us, but we don't pray, God, you lead, I follow. Mm-hmm. You lead, I follow, and I'm not even going to begin to tell you what the steps are. I'm just going to go ahead and follow. And I believe it's probably the temptation that they probably faced in this moment because they were shocked that she said, get you out of your mind. So when she kept insisting that it was so, they said, it must be his angel. It can't be Peter.
Can't be
Peter. Shh, stop praying. Stop praying. Peter is at the door. No, he's not there. Verse 16, but Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord brought him out of prison. I mean, can you imagine the roar? Shh, shh, let me inside here.
Right.
And he testified on how they, moving in authority, praying, God heard their prayer. Let me tell you something. The power of a praying church, the power of the believer that knows that they have been given authority by God, and they pray in faith, watch and see what happens. Watch and see what happens. I'm telling you that this encourages us to know that God, you know, when we obey God, you know, he partners with us. He partners with us when we pray according to his will. And I'm just so encouraged by that because it's the authority that the Lord has given us. And when we execute that authority, when we function in the purpose that God's given us, then things happen.
That's right.
On earth as it is in heaven. And can you imagine the testimonies that came after that? All of a sudden, he was banging on the door and it was Peter. We told Rhoda she was out of her mind. We told her, I don't know what happened. But God set Peter free. The authority of the believer.
Oh my goodness. Aunties. Listen, if you're looking for some barbecue, you got to go get some ribs, some pulled pork, and so much more in Cantonment. You don't want to miss it. Highway 29th and go north and let your nose lead you the way. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today in one of our two locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We are so excited about being able to encourage you, to be able to encourage you here on your journey. Think about it. Keeping the conversation light. That's what he commanded us. And that's one of the original words the Lord spoke over us is that, and he speaks over all of us, but in regards to why are we doing what we're doing, he says, because he said, go be the light of the world. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that in this dark world that it's dark. And so if we're light, if you're talking about the word of God and the ways of God, I mean, it may be rough at first because there's a lot of darkness, right. But you're actually bringing light into that area. Mm-hmm. It makes me think of, you know, Rick Joyner and the vision mm-hmm. about that sword. And when you're waving the truth around the air, it just changes the atmosphere. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you want to change your atmosphere, I want to encourage you, begin to listen. It's 24/7, 24/7 to VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and find out all the ways that you can get us. You can watch us on Christian Television Network around the nation and around the world. But listen, you need in your workplace and your home, just let it play and just let mm-hmm. the light come in there. But why have all that prognostication and darkness constantly coming your way?
And I'm telling you, if you missed any of our programs, we have four programs back to back. You want to make sure to catch them. Of course, you can always go to VFNTV.com, but don't forget, we have podcasts available for you. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, oh my goodness, sign up. Go to VFNTV.com. In the right-hand corner, you can select newsletter sign up, and every single week, you're going to get the highlights of that week's program, mm-hmm. and then you're also going to get an opportunity to get every single program that was available, that was shared on that week's segment.
Wow.
So it's all contained in an email, and you can take it, you know, have VFN radio on my phone, and we'll go, you know, on your mm-hmm. iPad. And I get so many reports of people telling me, hey, listen, I was just sitting with my iPad, it went to the newsletter, and it just, you know, click, 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 and I just heard one after the other, you know. It's a great way. So sign up for yourself, and also sign up a friend.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program. Well, we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello. I wanted to share was abiding and spending time in the Word, and came across 1 Samuel. It talked about, you know, Samuel anointing David as king. Mm. There are all these kings around these days. Mm-hmm. And something very interesting, you know, Samuel's going to anoint the new king of Israel. Mm-hmm. Saul had some issues, if you will. Mm-hmm. And my goodness, to think that God even repented of the fact that he made Saul king. I mean,
right.
We can ponder that for a while.
I regretted the day.
Yeah, I totally regretted the day. And so Samuel's on a quest to go anoint the new man, the new king of Israel that God has chosen. I mean, God has chosen this man. And so Samuel shows up, and I love this when he shows up. In verse 4, it says, Samuel did what the Lord had said, and when he arrived in Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, do you come in peace? I mean, my goodness, where is the trembling today when the prophet of God walks in, when the word of the Lord's about to come? Are we in awe of that word? I mean, it's just we need those days. Mm-hmm. We need those days. So Samuel says, we're going to have a sacrifice. Yeah. Going to Jesse's house.
That's right.
And so Jesse, he's about to anoint, you know, one of Jesse's sons as king. So Jesse has about 7 or 8 sons, and each one of them, he stands and parades in front of Samuel. Mm-hmm. And Samuel's looking them over, each one by one. You can imagine the scene, right. You know, the prophet has showed up. Mm-hmm. And one by one, you know, Jesse's standing back and watching his boys, you know, go in front of his, you know, men, sons, mm-hmm. going across Samuel. And then the word says in verse 6 that when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. In verse 7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, praise the Lord, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Mm. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.
That's right. Mm.
I mean, wow, step back. I mean, he says, I have rejected him. He didn't reject him as a person, but he just rejected him for the responsibility of being the king. You know, you got to be ready. You know what I'm saying? Got to be ready.
Right.
And but Samuel was looking with the outside eyes. He wasn't looking with his seer eyes, if you will, but he was looking with the outward eyes and looking at the outward appearance. And many people today, they judge based upon that. Many people today fall prey to looking at people because of, I mean, how many people have got higher jobs just because they're good looking? You know what I mean?
I was just going to say that.
You know?
Yeah.
This culture is so obsessed with looks, and I mean, my goodness, I mean, you any wonder why our daughters, our young girls are just so insecure? I mean, every airbrush magazine out there, it's just as horrible. It's not even realistic.
It's not even real.
No, it's just a tremendous pressure. You know, God forbid a woman goes out without makeup or something. It's just like, you know?
Yeah, right.
Although makeup is a nice thing, though. Although
it does help a little bit.
Okay, let's keep that moving.
So I hear, but, I mean, I don't know.
Don't look at me.
Not that I have any experience or anything like that. Let's clarify that.
Okay, just want to make sure. But you talk about judging from the outward appearance. You know, judging by the outward, making our, you know, an opinion. And to judge means to form a judgment, to have an opinion. And you can have a good opinion. But sometimes you can have a critical opinion. And I think that you know, the word tells us in Matthew 24:12 that because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Listen, when love is growing cold, I mean, we're not seeing wickedness on the land today. When love is growing cold, then people are very quick to be judgmental, to be critical, and to form opinions of others. And it's like, hold up, wait a minute. You know what I'm saying? We don't want to step into that. And it's just amazing how quick and easy someone just can go from, whoop, you know what I'm saying, just straight critical.
Right.
It was like no pass go, no pause, no, just flip the switch.
Yeah.
And love is growing cold. Love is growing. And the greatest, I mean, think about this. Love is the most life-changing force in the world. Really, love is the most life-changing force in the world. And the greatest act in humanity that was ever done. You'll marvel at the acts of humanity. Like, the greatest act of humanity that was ever done was Jesus himself dying on the cross because he loved us.
That's right.
It's the greatest act of humanity. And this act was what? Rooted and based in love. And we need to remember that. I mean, just we really need to remember that. The Lord really has me on this word of remember. You know, remember.
And it's important because how quickly we forget. We forget yesterday, you know, all the things that God has done in our lives. I mean, we get so caught up in the fires at our feet. We forget. Yeah. I mean, he's Look where you came from.
Yeah.
Don't forget that. Sometimes we may have to revisit it if we forget.
Tell me about it. I mean, when the word remembers in the book of Deuteronomy 16 times, and somebody's, you know, Deuteronomy knows the book of remembrance, and he's telling his people, you need to remember this. Some things I want you to remember. Remembering, bring it back to your mind. It takes effort. It takes action to do that. And so, listen, I mean, you're living today without an abiding journal? Not a good idea. You know, living today without a planner? You know, not a good idea. You know, you've got to be able to write things down. You've got to be able to remember the wonders of the Lord. Trust me. Trust me. There will be a day that you will need to encourage yourself like David had to encourage himself in the Lord and to bring to mind the things that God has done for you.
Exactly.
I'm telling you, I mean, this attitude of gratitude has to fall upon us. I'm telling you, we're going to get critical. We're going to be narcissistic. We're just going to think about ourselves. We're not going to take the time to care for others. And we'll start judging the very people that we were called to love. You know, and when we see love, when you see judgments and you see, you know, people that are being critical, you're seeing a lack of love.
All right.
Call it for what it is.
That's right. You know?
And you may think at first glance that maybe this hasn't been something that's happened in your life. Maybe you've been the recipient of that. And I want to tell you today that if you've been the recipient of judgmental accusations and treatment, then let me tell you something. God's not judging you. God's judging you.
Mm-hmm.
And don't receive it. You know, so many times people are just, they own whatever someone speaks over their life as if it's, listen, if it's not godly, if it's not right, you don't need to accept that. Don't be like Velcro and let every word spoken over you just attach.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not of God, if it doesn't align with God's word, let that thing go. Don't own it.
Right.
Yeah, but they said, but is it true?
Right.
Is it true?
That's
if
right.
It's say not true, let that thing go because you'll become a prisoner of mm-hmm. that. In fact, that's what judging does. Judging locks
mm-hmm.
that individual into right. the judgment, into the sentence that you've pronounce over that person.
That's right. I mean, if it is true, let it go.
True.
You got to let it go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, I just can't get over that statement you just made a while ago is that when you see people being critical, that's a lack of love.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times do we have even just the slightest critical thought or make some passive statement, not even thinking about it, but to even make a statement about somebody or to look at a situation and judge it in any critical way is mm-hmm. the fact that you're lacking love.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because we're supposed to love everyone. You know, Jesus tells us to love our enemies,
mm.
you mm. know, and my goodness. I mean, that is just, wow, what a paradigm.
Mm.
Huge. Right. Listen, this is what Mother Teresa said. This is what Mother Teresa said. Okay. She said, if we spend all of our time judging people, we won't have any time to love them.
Wow, that's true. That's true.
Really, if you spend all your time criticizing and pointing out people's faults and looking how they don't measure up and how they messed up again, first of all, I mean, you need to look in the mirror.
You know what I mean? Right, right.
You probably made a couple of mistakes yourself or you're about to hit one really hard.
Yeah, you're
you know?
Exactly right.
And it just, it helps us. It helps us because we need to have compassion. We need to have compassion again. I mean, it's just like when you lose love and things become busy, when you become impatient, you're only just concerned about yourself, you know, yours and mine and what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
We fail to empathize. We fail to have compassion for other people and we fail to move in love. And you know, we've said this before, but we've got to slow down to the pace of love.
Yeah, it's critical.
You know, it is. Because without love, we don't have anything.
Right.
We don't have anything. And how, I mean, God's called us to be his representatives on the face of the earth, his ambassadors. And so, you know, by moving in love, if, mm-hmm. you know, God is love.
That's right. And if you say you love your brother, if you say you love God, but you don't love your brother, he calls you a liar.
A liar.
Liar. That's pretty strong words.
I've always loved those. I've always loved those statements. You say, "I have my own relationship with God. I just love God." And I know, but you hate people right now. Come on.
I know a guy. I won't mention any names. Bless his soul.
Not Chris, right?
He goes, "I love God. You know, I love hanging out with God. I just don't like people. They just get on my nerves. People just bother me."
Oh,
wow.
This is a true story.
That's impossible.
That's impossible.
It's impossible. It's impossible to say you love God and not love people. In fact, it's a good indicator. It's a good litmus test. We got to be real. You know, the thing is like, let's be real on this side. Let's talk about it. Let's do a you know, a checkup from the neck up. Let's check the heart. Let's look in under the hood.
Checkup from the neck up. That's good.
Yeah, check what's going on.
Time for overhaul.
Listen, the Bible says to even examine yourself to see if you're still in the faith. I mean, the problem is, I mean, are we even examining ourselves? Are we even looking at what is happening?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's time to remember. It's time to reevaluate.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
And it's probably time to repent.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably time to repent and turn back. Listen, you know what? God knows that we're made of dust. that we, you know, lose our alignment, if you will. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, again, why abiding relationship with God is just so important. You know, we talk about this often and we say about this often, but please, one of the things that you know we don't want you to do is to become so familiar that you know, they keep talking about this abiding. Listen, go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and begin a plan today. I mean, you've been hearing us talk about abiding.
Yes.
And you're saying, what is this abiding stuff? Like, check it out. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. It will change your life.
Absolutely.
Because you're going to be spending time with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he who kneels before God can stand up to anybody. And if you're hearing from the Lord, let me tell you something. You're going to be able to keep yourself on path and on check. But I just wanted to share that. I wanted to talk about that today. I'm glad we're talking about it because you know what? We can fall prey to that at any moment. And it's okay for us to pause and say, you know what? I need to just remember where I came from. Remember who God is.
Right.
And I probably need to repent and not be judgmental.
That's right.
But always move in the position of love. Listen, the answer is always love. If you always move in the position of love, guess what? You'll be right. You'll be okay. Mm-hmm. But if you move into any other position, it's probably not going to go well.
All right.
Not going to go well.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, Greg, what's so encouraging about abiding is that you can have your own experience with the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, many people are out there right now and they're trying and they really want to hear and learn something from God, but they're reading devotionals.
Yeah.
That's another person's abiding experience. That's what God told someone else.
Yeah.
But guess what? There is good news, Greg.
Yeah.
You can go to iabide.org and you can follow a simple plan where you can hear God directly speak to you. Is that amazing?
Well, think about it. Their personal abiding experience was so powerful that you might be reading about their personal abiding experience today, calling it a devotional. And it is affecting you some way. You're actually eating another man's groceries. Do you know that God has food for you? Taste and see the Lord is good. Do you know that he has more than enough? He wants a personal abiding relationship with you. And you can find out more about that, just like you said, John, at iabide.org. You know, you write your own devotionals. When you start abiding with God, we have 8-year-olds that are writing their own devotionals. And they're just literally it's their own personal time with God, and they're writing it down, and it's a powerful encounter. Nobody can take that from them.
Fresh bread. Fresh manna daily.
Oh my goodness. iabide.org.
Good morning.
Good morning. it's like a college, you know, radio program, right? It's like, hey, you know, today's program is going to be. Now, this is the most exciting dude around, right?
I know. What happened?
He gets up in the morning and he looks at his toothpaste and goes, I'm so excited. And then he rubs his hands together and he comes on the radio and is like, good morning. Well, I just want to say
No comment. We'll just leave it there.
And no comment.
Like, and he still won't say
anything. I don't know. Come back to us.
Come back, Sanguine.
Sanguine. It's what it is because the personality conference hasn't happened yet. Once he teaches it, then he can watch it.
Then he wakes up.
Yeah, we're just waiting for him. We're figuring, you know, by the time we're like 1,000 years in heaven, you know, and it's like, we know already we're in heaven. We have the mind of Christ. And I was like, we got it. You're a Sanguine. Right. Do you remember the day that you found out you were a Sanguine? Do you remember that?
Yes.
You were in such deep denial that life was over your head. Yeah. But it doesn't really.
Remember? Mm-hmm. I thought I was melancholy.
Right. Oh, and only a Sanguine could convince himself of that.
Yeah, right. Only a Sanguine.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The moment of wisdom for today is from Proverbs 21, verse 3. Proverbs 21, verse 3. And we always look at the word of wisdom for today. I mean, it's the 21st of the month, the 21st chapter. We want to be able to get God's wisdom, the proper application of knowledge. And so it reads, Proverbs 21, 3 reads, to do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Think about that. Mm. To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. I mean, that is such a powerful statement because so many people are religious, but they're not necessarily right. I mean, they can sing and preach and teach and memorize scripture and and that's what's happened to a lot of people's viewpoint of God. They ran into the religious crowd who were more sacrificial than they were right. They were more sacrificial than they were just. But they missed God in the context of that. You know, when you know, the church in America split over slavery. You had the Southern Church and the Northern Church. Well, the Southern Church totally missed the justice of God and the righteousness of God and what was right. And they just continued to sacrifice, not realizing God's more into doing what's right and just than the next song you're about to sing. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. I know that's right.
So some people are quick to say, you know, what do you need? You know, let me help you. Let me give you an offering. While never considering their ways are not right before the Lord and they are not just in their dealings with man and God. Mm. And it's amazing. It's like, but don't you want to go back and apologize to your husband and your family the way you treated your family just then? No, I'll just sing a song. I'll prophesy. You know,
it's easier to do this outward thing than it is to have the Lord inwardly. I love Francis Assisi's quote. I just love it. He says, preach the gospel all the time, but when necessary, use words. And what he's saying is just live the life. So, you know, don't do all the tap dancing. Don't do all the externals and don't have a relationship with God because it's not good. It's a turnoff.
It's useless.
Not genuine.
It's useless. You know, God doesn't accept those sacrifices.
He doesn't see it.
Yeah. And so, you know, that and when you see people say, well, why do you have these issues with the church? Well, the issues could be because, yeah, you built buildings. Yeah, you sang good songs. Yeah, you did, you know, you gave money to the Ethiopian water wells. Yeah, you know, you did start an orphanage. Yeah, but then they go, but you're not right. You're not treating people right. You're not into justice. You don't care about the poor man. You don't care about the person who has third generation experiencing injustice in their life. It never crossed your mind about participating with something like the Exodus cry,
right?
You know, and saying that it's not right for, you know, for the children being taken into the sex trade. You know what I'm saying? Or women being taken into sex trade, and that God is into to what's right. You know what is right. You'll have people, you know, God begins to deal with their heart, and then they'll say, listen, you know, they'll sweat at doing something, some hard labor. They'll say, hey, do you need something to be moved, or do you need me to build something, you know, or do you need me to, they'll make so many outward movements and sacrifices, and literally they're just making it hard for themselves because they're sacrificing.
Right.
But it never crossed their mind that God wasn't even thinking about the outside of the cup. He was talking about the things that need to move in around inside their heart.
Right.
Think about it. You know, so many people are, because there's so many people like that, the people that are dealing with their heart sometimes can think like, does it even matter that I have right motives? You know, I seek to have right motives towards my brother or my sister. Well, the Lord's telling you, yes, it matters. It's more important what you're doing if you're focusing on, you know, doing what's right and just before God than it is for somebody else who maybe, you know, spending millions and throw, you know, giving all their possessions to the poor and, you know, and doing all these things that, but they don't have love.
That's right.
You know, so many people say there's some people that give exorbitant amounts of finances towards the kingdom work, such as missions and ministry efforts and outreach, Well, they stay in their sin. They never even think about dealing with their sin. Mm-hmm. But, you know, God does see these things. You know, he does see if we're giving things out and we're being kind to the poor, but it doesn't save us. I think about Cornelius. You know, Cornelius was noticed by God because of his alms to the poor, but he still had to make a decision to do what was right and just. Right. He couldn't just, his alms to the poor didn't save him, but his alms to the poor gave him a chance to hear the gospel and respond in a right way, in a just way to God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, works doesn't save us. Sacrifices do not save us, but they prove, of course, that we are.
Mm-hmm.
But we must always remember, never substitute sacrifice for obedience and justice.
Right.
Today's Proverb 21:3, to do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice.
That's good.
Yeah, isn't it?
That's very good. It's very good. You know what? Because we can get to a place where if all we're doing is sacrifice and there is no relationship with God and becomes sterile, it reminds me, we spoke about this last week about King Saul. King Saul thought that it was okay just to step in and start doing sacrifices and start just offering things on the altar, and he was moving outside of his place. And then all of a sudden, Samuel walks up and says, "What are you doing?" And so he realizes he's in sin, and the very next thing he prays is, "I know that I've sinned, but would you come with me and worship so I can worship in front of my people?" And it's like, I'm paraphrasing, but it's like he had no clue, no thought that it was okay just to do these things, and yet, you know, you're offending God. You're sinning God. It's not about a sack. God's not interested in what you can do for him. You know, he's interested in you. He's interested in your heart. He's interested in your life. He's interested in you giving your heart. If you're watching someone else do stuff and you're new to the Lord, you can think that, you know what, maybe it's all about works.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not.
Yeah, that's very good. It's very good.
In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Mm-mm, delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. Blue Angel, hot tubs, pools, and spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs, and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today. For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.